All right, this is Stranded, the Australian Canadian music show, and my name is Matt. Thanks for tuning in. This is a weekly radio show here, broadcast from University of British Columbia and the CRTR studios, and this is on Australian and Canadian music. So every week I broadcast old tunes from Australian rock and roll history, and then feature lots of Canadian music, usually brand new music, often quite local. Often very local. Today is going to be an interesting mixed bag of a few interviews, actually. And speaking of local, we have, towards the end of the show, an interview that Sarah Lapsley has done. She is a contributor to the Arts Report, and she's done an interview for this show this week. She's interviewed Danny Fazio, who is part of the team that runs the Waldorf Hotel, the wonderful, wonderful hotel. It's really a complex. It's more than just a hotel. Live music venue, all sorts of amazing things happen there, including the food cart festival that is happening over various Sundays throughout the last month and into September. So Sarah interviewed him this week, Danny. He talks about that festival and a little bit about the Waldorf itself. So that's coming up. Also, I'll be rebroadcasting a few segments of an interview I did with Carnam Rita Darcy. She is a wonderful singer of the yogic bhakti singing, so kirtan singing. Of course, we did the live broadcast at the Kirtan Vancouver on the weekend. I was there. I actually hosted the live broadcast. And in preparation for that, I interviewed Carnam Rita Darcy. And she is really great to talk to, and you'll learn a lot about the tradition of kirtan singing that comes from India. So you can look forward to that coming up. Something very different for this show. It's not Australian or Canadian rock and roll, but it's relating to an event that happened just here in the city. So anyway, let's start off, of course, with some older Australian music. And last week we started out with some tracks from an old Triple J radio compilation about Stranded, the Hottest 100, which is a weekly, it's a yearly, the Hottest 100 is a yearly poll of the top 100 songs as voted by listeners of Triple J, which is a youth broadcasting network in Australia. So anyway, I played you a whole bunch of tracks from 1994 last week, and I thought I'd play a few more, actually, off that CD. And again, that's from my secret admirer, whoever that is, who's left the whole bunch of Australian music CDs. That CD was in the bag. So I wanted to play you these tracks, some more kind of electronic ones this time, just to start the show. So let's kick it off with Single Gun Theory.
Energy never dies, just changes form.
I'm not going into details. It's too horrible. So horrible that when Bernard Spilsbury examined the residual shambles in the bungalow, he said it was more gruesome than anything even he had ever seen. That, from a great pathologist with unique experience, constitutes a warning not to be ignored. Job of all. The hair of the woman's head. He had severed it from the trunk, built a huge fire in the sitting room, placed her head upon it. Then, I owe a debt here to Edgar Wallace, who edited the transcript of the Mahon trial. Then the storm broke with a violent flash of lightning and an appalling crash of thunder. As the head of Emily Kay lay upon the coals, the dead eyes opened, and Mahon fled out to the deserted shore. When he nerved himself to return, the fire had done its work.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Hi, you're listening to Stranded here. This is Australian music going back to 1994. So you heard three tracks in a row there. From that year, you heard Fall, a song called Fall by Single Gun Theory. That was the first track. So they're a group that actually, they're put out on the Network label here in Canada, which is interesting. I had no idea until I just looked that up. So they have a connection here to Canada. I wonder how known they are, then. Single Gun Theory. I only know them through that one song. That was a huge song back in that year, Fall. And the second group there was Itchy and Scratchy, with a really cool song called Sweetness and Light. That was just everywhere at that time in Australia. Real dance classic. And then finally was Severed Heads with another absolute classic song called The Dead Eyes Open. So the Severed Heads are really quite an interesting band. They are one of the pioneering electronic acts, I mean, globally. They were active from 1979, and the Dead Eyes Open song you heard was a remix. It was actually released as a single way, way back sometime in the 80s, I guess. And the stuff that I haven't explored them much, but someone like Luke Meat, the previous music director here, is a great person to talk to about Severed Heads. And Raghunath, actually, from Marcher Radio, he was telling me the other day that, oh, yes, Australia, Severed Heads, I used to love them. So definitely a band to feature for a whole show, I think. Anyway, the track you heard was The Dead Eyes Open, and it's a remix. And the original of that came out a long, long time ago. So I hope you enjoyed that. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. I will be right back. We have lots of interviews today. I have the interview with Khan and Rita Dussey that I'm replaying. I did a special on Bhakti Yoga last week, and she was wonderful, beautiful voice, and I'm going to be playing for you that soon. And then Sarah Lapsley has an interview later in the show where she spoke to Danny Fazio, who is a member of the collective that runs the Waldorf Hotel in Vancouver. So lots of great stuff to come up in the show. I'll be right back.
On Saturday, August 25th, come and celebrate Africa. From noon to 6 p.m., the Canadian Network for International Surgery will hold their annual African Market at 1985 West Broadway. The market is a free and fun community event that will feature Swahili gospel singer Mary Atieno Ominde and more. You'll have a chance to experience traditional African food and culture, and there will be a silent auction held to raise funds for first aid equipment for elementary schools in rural Ethiopia. For information, call 604-739-4708 or go to www.cnis.ca.
You're so far away, I wanna see your face. The way that your lips go, like nobody else knows. I need you here. Nobody's eyes should've seen what your eyes have seen. Should've felt all the pain and all the sadness from all of those years. Your room seems to fade away, and people seem to disappear. When I think of you, God knows I'm always thinking of you. Now I'm on the outside, and now I'm looking in. I'm not able to touch you, not able to hold you. I'm helpless back here. So put your pride away and put it on the side. I wish things would change. It was not our time. You rip me, tear me, pull away my layers, and I ran away. 'Cause this time I just couldn't stay. But I'm loving you. Long without speaking a single word, and when I'd reach out for you, I felt your body burn. You fill me with so much. listen to sad, sad songs that tell me how lonely I am, that tell me my life was worth nothing at all without love, without you. I try to sleep, but my mind's filled with images of you. How we sat in this hotel room just 6 months before we made love, sweet love, love on the floor. Was I smiling back then? Was I smiling back then? Was I smiling back then? Thank you very much. Thank you. Cheers.
Coming through the door with frozen fingers and numb toes. I take off my scarf, I take off my toque, and I wipe my nose. Feel the warmth of this tiny house embracing me, like the love of the one that I can't wait to see. Oh, 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 oh. Coming in from the cold reminds me. Change the day your kettle made enough tea for two. Maybe I've been denying you're only in my life, but you're the groom on the cake, and I will be the wife. Coming in from the cold reminds me of falling in.
Okay, so this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, and two lovely female voices there. First up, Toby. Now, she is an Australian singer-songwriter from Perth, and she's in town tonight in Vancouver. You still have time to get down to Café du Soleil. I interviewed her last week, so if you wanted to find that, go to Google and type in Oz Stranded, and you'll be able to listen to more of Toby. But there's a little sample of what you might hear tonight at Café du Soleil on Commercial Drive. And secondly, Megan Nash, Canadian. She is from Saskatchewan. So when I was just up on my break, I passed through Regina and Saskatoon, and this CD came my way. So Megan Nash, she's a really interesting folk singer. She's been performing for only the last 4 years, and she's a lot of achievements already. She's performed at the grand opening of Mosaic Place in Moose Jaw. She's performed here in Vancouver at the Ritterville Pavilion during the Grey Cup celebrations, and her songs have been on West Radio Network and CBC already. So there you go. That's Megan Nash from Saskatchewan. So coming up next, I have my interview with Carnan Rita Dussey, the extraordinary performer of kirtan singing. I did a special on Bhakti Yoga just this past week in preparation for the Kirtan Vancouver, where we did the live broadcast. So let's hear some music from Carnan Rita Dussey and then get into the interview.
Mumachur munayo devo sumanam simudha. jurano sagaram nishite tam udbhuti jayamane janardane devakyam devarupinyam vishnu sarva guhashaya nishite
Okay, so that was some music from Karamrita Dasi. What a beautiful voice there. She performed at Kirtan Vancouver here just last weekend. And something different for this show. I'm doing this because I did a special on my own on Bhakti Yoga that was broadcast last week. So I'm replaying the interviews on this show too because this is too good not to have listeners here. So let's get talking with Karamrita Dasi. So, Karamrita, thank you so much for finding time there. I know you've pulled over your car and the side of the road in Oregon for this little chat. Karamrita, you are playing here in Vancouver next week, but I wanted to first of all start with some questions about where the Bhakti movement came from. It was a movement from India, I guess around the 6th or 7th century, is that right?
Yeah, I think, I have to say that the beautiful thing about the Vedic tradition is that it was an oral tradition, and so although I wasn't there, what's been handed down as the knowledge is that it did come from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which also was the time of Mirabai, some very mystics around the world. It was a very sweet time that I think actually had Bhakti influenced in many ways and very different flavors. But the tradition of Kirtan really started a lot around the rebel, if you might want to say, the incarnation known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, this isn't just for the Brahmins, and you don't just get to access it if you're from the higher caste. You can access this no matter who you are, as long as there is the element of bhakti or devotion in what you sing and in what you do.
Mm. And sex, of course, too. Sex and caste have no object when it relates to your relationship to the divine.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the essence, I guess. And so it was a reform movement, wasn't it?
Yeah, they actually did something pretty cool. I mean, I thought about how nice it would be, except these days people usually have to know what time and where, and there's a lot of marketing around a lot of things. But what they used to do was they would actually do something called Sankirtan during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. And that actually, the way that they did Kirtan was oftentimes in a temple or sitting, but oftentimes it was walking from village to village, and they walked all the way from north in Bengal, sort of northeastern India, and they walked all the way to South India and then all the way back up again, visiting holy places and singing the whole time they walked. And whoever wanted to join would join for as long as they could and go home. And it was always a it was a movement that surrounded around music, but I actually mean like it was a physical movement. You got out of your home, you got out of your whatever might be your familiar or your to-do list or whatever it is, and you walked with like-minded people and you sang.
Well, this...
not a lot of microphones, not stage lighting,
yeah. Not
marketing, and you didn't know what day they were going to walk by, but everybody listened out, and everybody respected and took part of pilgrimage.
And in contemporary times in India, I mean, everything's changed, of course, but is there any of that sort of more movement-type tradition still happening, or is it sort of fixed curtains like what we're going to experience on Saturday?
I think it's a little bit of both. If you go to little villages in Bengal, they definitely walk through villages just chanting, and they don't have mics, so they have the cymbals, and they'll play those sitars sometimes rather, you know, just, it's not meant to be entertainment sound, but it notifies people that they're there, and they're chanting, and they're singing. But I know a couple of years ago there was a group of people that were actually moving with an ox cart through India, and they called it Padayatra, and I'm not sure that they are doing it much anymore, but there has been people who have taken on long... I mean, I did a walk across Spain a couple of years ago, the Camino de Santiago, by myself, and I thought, how nice would it be to just say, there's a kirtan crossing Spain this summer, and we don't know what day we'll arrive, but we'll check in as we go places, and people just come out on the journey and chant.
That's extraordinary.
One of the nice things that I liked about that idea of sankirtan and walking was that it includes the element of spontaneity to be able to connect without organization, without just to be able to say, it comes from the heart. When it comes from the heart, it doesn't warn you.
That's right. And it seems so inclusive because it doesn't require incredible dexterity on an instrument or something. Like, anyone can partake, even, you know, with basic guitar chords or anything, or drumming, or just the voice, of course. So it doesn't, there isn't some bar that's set high that people have to attain before they can be part of it.
Absolutely. There is sometimes a challenge to people to just be able to sit and to be able to say the same mantra over and over. That seems to be the modern day challenge, because we're not going anywhere, we're not filming it, we're not putting the pictures up, we're just chanting. And I used to like to say, no shoes, no tickets, no flyers, no meals, just kirtan. Just go once a week to someone's house, sit together and sing, and don't make it complicated, because that sometimes is what we try to do around things, which sort of it becomes an impediment, you know. And kirtan is actually quite simple, and yet it has a very directed presence and essence, in that it's very powerful if you know what it means and if you know what you're chanting, because that allows you to tune in instead of just tuning out.
I see. Okay.
If I don't know what Enya's singing, or if I don't know what they're singing in Malawi, I get the mood, I get the feeling. But when I know what they're singing, I'm allowed to access the deepest inclusiveness that there is.
Radhe, 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 sham, radhe, radhe, sham.
August 31st, check out Ono Yoko, Behind Sapphire, and 10 Million at the Russian Hall in Strathacona at 8 p.m. Tickets are $10 in advance or $15 at the door. Brought to you by Original Spin and CITR 101.9 FM.
Okay, and we're back here on Stranded. This is the Australian Canadian Music Show, but something a little different this week because I'm rebroadcasting my interview with Khan and Rita Dussey, who performed here in Vancouver at Kirtan Vancouver. She is a singer in the traditional style of Kirtan singing as it relates to Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of devotion. So you just heard a beautiful track there, which was about Radha. Radha, of course, is the consort of Krishna. The story of Krishna is told in the Mahabharata, and more specifically the Bhagavad Gita story, which is the main text that Indian worshippers read regularly. So it's really interesting to get this different cultural input today on the show. Let's get back into my interview with Khan and Rita right now. How would you describe what occurs with you emotionally when you are chanting?
Well, first of all, let me just say that for everybody, this is definitely a very personal experience, so I can't answer for everyone, but from the teachers that I've had in my life, and I don't want to just say the ones that were official teachers, I've had so many teachers that just, some of them are so not on any pedestal, and it's just the way they live their life. It has become an inspiration for me to sing, because it's that constant dedication, and that's that day-to-day surrender through chanting that has deeply affected me. But I do think that chanting is a very personal expression, and I think that when you meditate on the thoughts expressed in the chants and you sing, you sort of are seeking to establish a personal conception of the meaning with, like, seed thoughts, you know, and you visualize them, and you study. I mean, for me, I studied the chants, and I saw key words, and I saw phrases that I would emphasize with deep feeling, and almost with almost more force than some of the other words, and it would sort of, like, charges my mind, it charges my heart, very deeply, with, you know, a vitality to it, and I connect to a love that is inside those words. I can feel it, and I've been studying the language, and I lived in India for many years, and I was raised in an ashram, so I've been lucky to have this as my modality of prayer all my life.
And then how exactly did you get into it in terms of the formal study? How did that come about? Because I know you actually traveled to India at some stage and yeah, did receive teachings from some masters.
I had studied this just loosely as, you know, a community prayer, sort of the way that you or some others may study with teachers there in Vancouver. But when I stopped studying, I went on to learn other things that I thought were more practical in college and things like that. And then my mother told me that she had cancer. I was actually in Australia, and she called me and said, maybe you should come home. And my mother wasn't one to request anything or ever say she was sick, so it kind of, I got warned, and I came home, and she was 88 pounds, and the strong, you know, beautiful, warm, healthy vitality that she'd had all her life was very frail. And I was a little shocked, so I stayed and took care of her for a little over a year, and then she passed. And right before she passed, she had said to me, "Oh, I wish you would sing for people, and I wish you would share that with people." And a couple things came over my head. She was very tone deaf, so I sort of thought, well, what does she know about good music? But I also noticed that when I sang, I felt a little bit like my grief and my loss was a little less. So I decided to go and take her ashes to India, and in taking her ashes to India, I started asking around about studying classically, because I've never thought about singing in English. I love Sanskrit so much that I just decided to stay in that genre, because it was what she was referring to anyway. And so I get there and they say, oh, you want to study? You want to study North Indian or South Indian? I was like, I don't know. So it was known as Carnatic music in the South or Hindustani music in the North. And I said, well, I only know the North, so maybe the North. And then they said, would you like to study Dhrupad or Khayal or Tumri or Barakyal? And they were asking me all these other versions, and really, I had no idea. So I start at a very old temple in Vrindavan known as Radhavaman. And they had classical music there every day, and I noticed that it was probably the best band-aid for my grief, just to hear this music. And so they eventually invited me to attend classes, and I was lucky enough to study with Pandit Vidyamalikji, who was a master of Dhrupad in Vrindavan, in India, North India. And that was one of my largest influences in my study.
Pingala Uvacha. Aho me mohavitatim pasyata vijitatmana yakantarasata kamam kamayena balisha. Maivam Syurmanda Bhagyaya Klesha Niveda Hetava Yena Nubandam Nihritya Purusha Samam Richati. Sometimes I'm a bit of a number of deep, but I'm a bit.
to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Station tours start at noon and we are located on the second floor of the sub.
The wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection.
And we're back here on CITR 101.9 FM and Strand at the Australian Canadian Music Show. Don't forget you can find the blog online by going to Google and typing OZSTRANDED. That's Oz Stranded. And yeah, some very different sounds here for the show this week. We had Kanem Rita Dahi, the classically trending. She is from, she did some studies in India. And the real traditional way of Gertan singing in the Bhakti Yoga tradition. And you heard my interview with her, and that last track there was another beautiful one from Kanem Rita Dahi. So let's get back into what this show is generally about, which is Australian and Canadian music, and let's go local now. Sarah Lapsley, she is a contributor to CITR. She does some work with the Arts Report, and we've had her on this show a couple of times as well. She is a student and local musician here, and she had a chat this week with Danny Fazio. He is part of the team at the Waldorf Hotel, which of course is just a wonderful place, wonderful creative space here in the city. It's on their website they describe it as a creative compound where contemporary art, music, food and culture convene under one roof. That's pretty much a very apt description. So Sarah had a chat with Danny this week about what the Waldorf's all about and the current food cart festival that's going on over consecutive Sundays this month and maybe into next month. So here we go. This is Sarah Lapsley.
I guess I just wanted to start, like, because the Waldorf didn't used to be like it is now. Why don't you tell me a little bit about how it came to be?
The Waldorf is a historic property that has been in East Vancouver since 1947. And it was originally a, you know, your basic kind of motor hotel that, you know, was on like a busy commercial industrial area. And then in the 1950s, they turned it into a tiki bar to kind of cash in on like the whole tiki phenomenon that was sweeping the nation. And it was a real thriving kind of cultural hub right up until the early 70s when the whole area started getting pretty like downtrodden. And I guess where we came into the picture was in 2010, a group of us took over the hotel business and started rebranding it and running it as more of an arts and entertainment food and culture hub. So we launched in 2010 at Halloween with a gigantic like free event. And it was like just right away, huge response from the city. Everybody was like really happy that the hotel was like, you know, kind of still here and still running. And we've been doing that now for almost 2 years and just had an amazing, it's been an amazing experience. We've done lots of really interesting, fun, cool, cultural, food-related, music-related events.
Yeah, it's had a huge impact, and I remember that Halloween party was, yeah, a real splash.
Yeah.
Yeah, and compared to the way it was, yeah, kind of divey right before you guys took it over.
Yeah. It was kind of like, it kind of had this, like, it was catering to, like, the area, so it had a, because it's like an industrial area, so it had a real kind of working class pub, actually, somebody had commented, I think someone who was working there at the time said it looked like BC Ferries on acid inside. It was like so crazy. The pub was really crazy looking, like really kind of divey. But the cool thing is the owners had the good sense to really like kind of close off the tiki portion. So when we took it over, the tiki bar, it's still, you know, it like hadn't changed since like the 1960s. So like that was really exciting.
is so huge down there. You had the hosted the Mint 20th anniversary.
Yeah, I think what's cool, what I love about doing events like that, like we did it with Mint, we did it with New Forms Festival, we did a festival called Weird Fest, and it's so cool that we have so many different rooms. Because you basically can you can basically house like a mini festival within a building.
Yeah, it's great, and the restaurants are great. I mean, there's so much to check out at the Waldorf, and you can get your hair done in the cool salon in the lobby.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but just wanted to talk about the food cart event. So it's been another successful initiative. Every Sunday, you've been opening up the parking lot, I guess, and having cool artisan food carts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we started working with Street Food Vancouver and Yelp for our Canada Day festival, and we did like a Canada Day block party, and we were like, why don't we get all the street carts together in one place, and you know, see what happens? And the response was like crazy. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, especially with all those food carts, like, you know, all the social media is so important for them, and you know, it's like, the right away, right when we started doing the event, the Twitterverse just like exploded, and just like so much chatter about it and so much talk, and people were so excited. And so post Canada Day block party, we were like, okay, we know we're onto something with all the food carts coming together, and you know, why don't we try it for the rest of the summer while the winter, while the weather's nice, before winter sets in. Let's just do it every weekend and see what happens. And we're 4 weeks in now, and it's just getting busier and busier every week, and there's a huge demand for it. People really want it, and people are really excited, and we're happy to provide it for them.
So you're thinking of extending it? Originally you were going to go to September 2nd?
I think there's definitely a possibility. We'll see. I mean, it's just also weather dependent, you know.
Yeah.
I think people in the summer here in Vancouver, they want to be out as much as possible in the sun, and you know, once the cold weather kicks in, I don't know if the response will be quite as energetic. You know?
Yeah, and you have like other vendors, like clothes vendors and stuff.
Yeah, like at the last one we did this, we did a vintage market called the Chosen Ones, and it's like about 20 different vintage vendors, and so we basically set up a little market, and we have an area called a beach bar, and it's like a giant sand pit outside. So we have like a 3-day market out there in the sand, and it was really fun. It really felt like you were on like a beach in like the Mediterranean or something, you know, walking around and seeing people selling stuff, and it was really fun.
Wow, that sounds great. And then coming up this weekend, August 25th, you've got the outdoor summer concert. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is really, really exciting. Ever since 2010, when we first looked at the property, one of our big kind of dreams was like, okay, we want to do a big rock concert out here. And Black Mountain was the one band that we all agreed on was like the band to do it, the band that we all really loved, and the band that we felt was like, you know, they're like Vancouver hometown heroes. Everybody here loves them, and they would just be the perfect group to get out there to headline a concert like that. And so we've been talking to them since 2010, and the timing finally clicked. They're kind of ready to do a show here, so we started talking to them. They wanted to curate all the bands, which was totally cool with us, so they put together the whole bill, and all the bands are basically like East Van rock, and except for Quest for Fire, who are from Toronto, who have played here before and are amazing. So it's going to be like a 5-band bill, starts at 5, goes to 11, and we're using that whole outdoor area. We're going to have a lot of the cool things that we've been doing at the Food Cart Fest, like tacos, and we're selling like coconuts out there. We're going to do two different bars, one giant beer garden and one licensed area by the beach bar. And then we're going to do a huge after party in the cabaret.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah, really excited. Yeah,
that's wonderful. Okay, well, you can check out the Waldorf at waldorfhotel.com. And Danny, I just wanted to talk to you, too, because you're a local musician and you were in the band Flash Bastard.
Yep.
And I hear that you're re-releasing your album.
Yeah, it got re-released on a record label in the States called... Actually, I have it right here. The label's called Black Cat Records, and actually they're based in France, so I guess we're big in France. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so- yeah, it's it came out actually a year ago, and then now I think it's coming out on CD through Cargo, but like I'm not super knowledgeable about all that stuff. I'm not like a full-time member of the band or anything. Like Donal and Pete are still quite involved in it, and they both live in LA, so I'm not super completely in the loop. But I did play the last. We did a show at the Rio 2 years ago, and I played bass.
Wow.
For that.
Well, we're going to talk to Pete next week about the album. Yeah. So we'll look forward to that. And
that's so great.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Danny.
Thank you so much.
Look
Sarah.
Forward to seeing you soon. Thanks.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, another pump explosion. 1, 2, 3, another hit record. And
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
A horse was maimed running wild in the freeway. Man was killed standing still in his doorway. That song was playing real sad.
No way.
Oh, that song was playing real sad.
No way.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, another pump. 1, 2, 3, another hit record.
Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
So the familiar sounds there of Vancouver band Black Mountain, who are playing at the Waldorf Hotel tomorrow, a big summer show there that the Waldorf has been planning for some time. So you heard the very first track off their first album, Black Mountain, self-titled, Modern Music. And then you heard the very last track on their very latest album called Year Zero, the original soundtrack, and the song was called Breathe. So completely bookending the Black Mountain catalogue there. And, of course, we just heard there Sarah Lapsley chatting with Danny Fazio, one of the proprietors of the Waldorf Hotel. And he spoke about a little potted history of the Waldorf and, of course, the food cart event that's happening on Sundays. I actually went last week, which was really cool. I recommend you check that out on Sundays, the food cart festival there in the car park. And he mentioned Flash Bastard, his old band, and we will be interviewing one of the members of the band very soon in a show coming up. So hope you look forward to that. Flash Bastard, interesting. I love learning this history of Vancouver music. Anyway, so thanks, Sarah, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy?
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
on the couch in hindsight. Paul said it best when describing old blood deep. One minute lost focus, a stranger standing outside.
This is Tony Bardock of the Pointed Sticks, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.